Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's April 17th. I'm Carrie Klein. A proposed federal law and a proposed state ballot measure could reshape how people vote here in California.
These proposals would require more steps, either at registration or when actually casting the ballots.
Coming up, we discuss these voter ID proposals and what they could mean, but first, these headlines. A new poll out this week on the California governor's race shows the field still tightly bunched, with the candidate just forced out still leading the pack. Cap Radio's Drew Sanzer has more on the survey from the nonpartisan Public Policy Institute of California.
The PPIC poll was conducted before former Congressman Eric Swalwell pulled out of the race, and it shows him on top with 18% support. He was followed by Republicans Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco at 17 and 16%, with Tom Steyer at 14 and Katie Porter at 10%. PPIC statewide survey director Mark Baldessari said they've never had a governor's race this uncertain, this close to the June primary since California's top two election format was adopted. The survey also found 62% of likely voters would vote yes on a citizens initiative to extend existing taxes on high incomes to provide permanent funding for education and health care. It also found just 14% of Californians think AI will have a positive impact on the state's public education system over the next decade.
That was Drew Sanzer reporting. The latest legal fight between California and President Donald Trump over abortion and gender-affirming care could soon leave doctors caught between state and federal law. Some federal subpoenas require doctors to hand over medical records involving abortion or gender-affirming care without notifying patients. But Assembly Bill 1930 would fine medical providers if they comply. Meanwhile, delaying responding to the feds could also put doctors at risk of violating federal law. The state measure responds to efforts to block or criminalize abortion and gender-affirming care services. A new analysis by KFF Health News shows fewer immigrants were enrolled in Medi-Cal in the last half of 2025. The survey found that almost 100,000 immigrants without legal status left the safety net health program last year. That represents about a quarter of all Medi-Cal disenrollments. Experts believe that fear is a factor. A KFF survey with the New York Times last year found that immigrant adults have increasingly avoided government assistance programs to not draw attention to their immigration status. Students in California could have more restrictions over their smartphone use in school under a bill working its way through the legislature. The bill would require a bell-to-bell ban on smartphone use. It includes exemptions for emergencies and medical needs. Democratic Assemblymember Al Maritsuchi says California would join 10 other states that have similar bans.
Schools that have adopted bell-to-bell smartphone bans report improved academic outcomes, especially in disadvantaged communities, as well as a reduction in cyberbullying and other disciplinary problems.
The bill has received bipartisan support. A Common Sense Media report found 25% of children have a personal phone by the age of 8. That number rises to 91% by age 14. A Mariposa County mother of two has been identified as the victim of a deadly tunnel collapse in Northern California this week. 35-year-old Twyla Capuro was killed Tuesday after a rock fall inside the tunnel where she was working in Calaveras County. Her family's GoFundMe page called it a tragic workplace accident. They're raising money to cover her funeral expenses. Another person was also injured in the accident. Fresno Pacific University has announced the death of its former president, Edmund Jansen. He died Tuesday at the age of 88. Jansen served as the university's fifth president from 1975 to 1985. Jansen is credited with helping to move the university beyond its Mennonite roots and broadening its appeal to people of all faiths. A memorial service celebrating Jansen will be held next week in Fresno. Although snowpack has been average this year, rapid melting has made a lot of water available for use now. Our newsroom partner SJV Water reports a considerable amount of snowmelt was recently captured at Lake Isabella. The city of Bakersfield has a large share of that, and city leaders expect to be able to run water in the riverbed through town as early as next month and possibly through much of summer. There's a chance for more mountain snow early next week.
You're listening to the Valley's only daily news podcast, Central Valley Daily. Show your support for local news by joining us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's annual spring fundraiser. On Sunday, May 3rd, enjoy an afternoon of fine wine and craft beer tastings. New this year, food will be available for purchase from some of the Valley's favorite food vendors. We encourage you to drink responsibly, find answers to frequently asked questions, and purchase your $75 ticket at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. How we vote in elections could be changing. Specifically, we might be required to provide ID when we vote, either in person or by mail. While one voter ID bill is making its way through Congress, another measure may appear on local ballots here and across California later this year. And although the measures have received considerable support, mostly on the political right, they've also drawn substantial criticism. KVPR reporter Samantha Rangel covered these proposals recently and spoke with election officials about what they could mean here in the Valley. And she's here in the studio to talk about her reporting. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Carrie.
First, Sam, there are two voter ID proposals currently being considered that would affect California, one at the state level, one in Congress. Can you just lay out both of these for us?
Yes. So there are two main proposals, and they will be very similar. One will likely be found on the California state ballot this November, and so that proposal would require ID for in-person voting, a photo ID, and for mail-in ballots, you would need to provide the last four digits of a government ID. On top of that, you'd need proof of citizenship during voter registration. Now, the second proposal is at the federal level, and that's called the SAVE Act, and it's also called the Save America Act. This is basically the same exact proposal, requiring proof of citizenship for voter registration and that photo ID when voting. And essentially, these, again, are the same thing. One seems to safeguard the other. So if one of these laws doesn't pass, the hope is that the other will. If it doesn't pass at the federal level, California still wants the law to pass here.
Right. And I think there are a handful of proposals in other states that are trying to offer these similar safeguards as well.
Right. Yeah.
So how would these proposals change what's already required of voters in California?
In California, voter ID happens mainly during the registration process and not at all really at the polls.
Okay.
So voters tend to provide the last four digits of their social security or show their license, and that kind of gets verified. Typically for in-person voting, when you go to the polls, you kind of just give your name, address, and you're all good to go. So these proposals would require more steps either at registration or when actually casting the ballots. For voters, this could mean that they would need to bring that extra photo ID or some extra info that they would need to write down on those mail-in ballots.
Okay, so there's a bill making its way through Congress and a statewide proposition that appears to be headed for the November ballot. Why were these proposals introduced? What are their supporters saying about them?
Yeah, these are very partisan issues. The federal bill was introduced by Republican congressmen, and all of the sponsors who signed on in the Congress are also Republican. So the ballot proposition in California kind of reflects that same Republican priority here. Mm-hmm. Mainly, I guess they want to prevent non-citizens from voting and also prevent voter fraud. Local supporters here in the Valley include Republican Assemblymember David Tongapa and Fresno County Sheriff John Zanoni. So they kind of call this a common sense measure. And of course, voter fraud is something that most people want to avoid. But election officials kind of tell me that there's been no proof of widespread voter fraud in any of these major elections. And so that's kind of why so many people, including the Democrats, don't feel that this is a major problem that needs to be solved.
And these proposals have also generated a lot of opposition in public conversations, yeah, both locally and nationally. What are some of the concerns about these proposals?
Many folks seem to worry that this kind of law can disenfranchise voters, particularly the low-income folks and those people who don't drive, all of whom might be less likely to have those government-issued IDs. Mm-hmm. So statistically, folks in those communities are more likely to vote Democrat. I think some other concerns are that there could be spelling errors either in the voter databases or on ID cards, and that, of course, can delay the voting even more, making the process more arduous. And then another concern could be that this could nationalize elections and share sensitive voter information with the federal government. So there's a nonprofit civil rights group, the American Civil Liberties Union, has come out against these proposals, and they argue that this is a, quote, thinly veiled attempt to interfere with our elections.
Well, so you also spoke to some local election officials, the registrar of voters in Fresno and Merced counties. What's their response to these proposals?
Yeah, both registrars told me that the state system is already very secure and has multiple layers of verification. They emphasized that fraud in Fresno and Merced counties is extremely rare. They also said that voter ID is already a part of the process. It's just not, I guess, not so much in the way that people would think. So
right,
I guess
it's usually during registration rather than the voting process.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess from their perspective, the system kind of seems to be working already as it's intended to.
Okay. So they aren't too concerned about voter fraud. But if either of these laws or this, you know, one proposal and one law comes into effect, these elections officials do seem to be concerned about resources, right?
Yes, exactly. Both of them told me that some of the biggest challenges with the laws would be the actual implementation of it, right? Things like having to update the systems, retrain their staff, and do some public outreach, they all take time and money. Mm-hmm. One registrar told me that if changes happen too quickly, it can disrupt the elections that are already in motion, all these mail-in ballots that are going out and whatnot. In fact, the state legislative analyst office also says that if the California law passes, this could cost a one-time cost of tens of millions of dollars. And then, of course, on top of that, there's more ongoing costs that are pretty pricey. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. So I think I'd say that it seems like less of the idea about these laws is what they're worried about. And it's just more about how quickly the law will be rolled out.
Right. Okay. So what's next for both of these proposals?
So the state proposal does appear to be headed to the ballot this November. Some of the organizers say that they've collected enough signatures, so voters will likely ultimately decide on that later this year. And then the federal bill has been introduced and has been passed the House of Representatives, but it's still active and being debated in the Senate. And that's kind of, I mean, that's unclear when and if that would pass. Mm-hmm. The key takeaway, I think, at this point is that nothing has changed for voters just yet, but it is definitely something to keep an eye on.
KVPR reporter Samantha Rangel, always great to chat with you about your reporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
And some key election dates to keep in mind. The last day to register to vote for the June 2nd primary election is May 18th. County elections officials will begin mailing ballots in early May, and ballot drop-off locations will officially open on May 5th. You can also drop off your ballot at your local county elections office or return your ballot by mail. In-person early voting locations throughout California will be open on May 30th. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Samantha Rangel, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR, with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Carrie Klein. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.